joined alongside my co-hosts, Jeff Cerebeck of The Athletic, Cole Jackson of Road Graders. Looking forward to an hour's worth of content as this head coach search, guys. Crazy enough, I mean, tomorrow, I guess, will technically be 2 weeks. It was two weeks ago around 5 o'clock or so that the John Harbaugh news came down. He, of course, was introduced as the next head coach of the New York Giants earlier this afternoon, and the Ravens are 17 candidates deep now at this point. With a few finalists, we're going to get Jeff's thoughts on maybe how you define finalist for the Ravens at this point in the process and just how much more they could have in front of them as championship weekend nears. And as we kind of set the table, you guys, as always, see for the audio-only audience, you don't right now, but I'll just run through as we set the table for what we have coming up. We're just going to go through it. The candidate carousel, who should be talked about, who should be maybe written off at this point, aside from the obvious ones who've been hired, like the Salas and the Stefanskis of the world. Why the rush? Cole, I know you have some thoughts on that in terms of doing the due diligence that this front office clearly has done the first 2 weeks. Offense versus defensive minded, if you have an opinion on that, you'll go make it your voice heard in the live chat. We've got two defensive minds, two offensive minds, but really at the end of the day, I think we all know that the right fit is really all that matters. And after that, they'll have to figure it out from that point on. And again, maybe even a little bit of early projections as well as we go along. It's brought to you by our friends at Sleeper. Jeff, this is a process that is 2 weeks deep now. Your thoughts kind of high level before we kind of kick this thing off in terms of where the Ravens find themselves.
Is that all? We're only 2 weeks into this. It feels like this has been the whole off season. It's just interesting how they sort of have attacked the process. You know, you look at the Steelers and, you know, they found out what, about 7 days after the Ravens fired Harbaugh, and they, you know, Tomlin resigned, and they're already into their second interviews too. So they're pretty much on par with the Ravens. You know, I know there's been a lot of speculation about whether the Ravens would accelerate the process because the Bills job's open and the Steelers are now, you know, from what we know. And as I said, getting information out of the castle these days is pretty much mission impossible. But from what we know, they have not changed course here, guys. Anthony Weaver was in today. He's their second interview. I think I said all along to you guys that I think Anthony Weaver's a legitimate candidate, you know, and if he's not the head coach, I think he absolutely has a shot here as a defensive coordinator job, depending on what else they do. And I think he could be a candidate. I mean, a talk out of New York is he's John Harbaugh's favorite for defensive coordinator, which is pretty funny considering he bypassed him twice while he was here. But anyway, so Weaver's getting things, got things started today. I think Jesse Minter will be in the building at some point tomorrow or Thursday. Jesse has a busy week. He had a second interview with the Ravens today, the Raiders today. He has another second interview with the Browns later in the week. And so the Ravens get a shot at him. And if he's their guy, if he's their number one candidate, and I'm not saying he is, but it would behoove them to get a deal done tomorrow night and not let him to go to the Browns and get a second interview. However, that would mean bypassing on some other potential candidates. And now Joe Brady, the Bills offensive coordinator, suspected to be in the building later this week. And then you got a host of guys that they could bring back for second interviews who have games this weekend and couldn't talk in person till next week. So it's interesting. We're at a phase now where things are starting to move. They are now Rooney Rule compliant, meaning they've met in person with two minority candidates, and that allows them to make a move whenever they're ready to make a hire. They're in compliant and they could make that hire. So Minter, I would think, would be a big interview tomorrow. I'm not predicting that he's definitely going to get the job, but I would say he still is one of the favorites, you know, to a lengthy list.
Yeah, and a lot of the chatter on social media today seemed to be around the concept of, you know, why are we sitting on our hands? And I think, you know, you kind of saw Atlanta be the first ones to make a move, getting Kevin Stefanski and doing it pretty quick. And I mean, for some of these jobs that I would consider, you know, more mid-tier, I don't think Atlanta was at the bottom in terms of preferable. But, you know, when you add in Buffalo and Pittsburgh, it was probably, you know, fourth, fifth, depending on how you want to organize the Giants in there with their young core of players. And then you see, you know, Robert Saleh get moved on pretty quick. And I think everybody's anxiety is coming from a couple places. So first of all, Salah was someone that was of a lot of interest. So obviously once he goes, it's like, oh, okay. You know, what's going on? Like, you know, I would have loved to have him in our finals. He was my number two. If you look at my final five from last week. So I think that's creating a lot of anxiety, but what I've learned is, and you know, we haven't done this since 2008. And you know, this process is anxiety inducing because you have to manage the, you know, your interviews in relation to just coaches moving on in the playoffs. Like, I think we would all agree that we'd like to see Clint Kubiak get a second interview. Well, we might not be able to do that until after this week, if they're going to be patient during the break between conference championships and the Super Bowl. So if you want to give guys that are high up on your list, and I mean, you can throw Davis Webb in there, you can throw Vance Joseph in there, given they're, you know, with the Broncos. If you want to give your guys that you have high up on your list a fair shot with that second interview, you're waiting until next week anyway. So it really comes down to, you know, my perspective on this is, you know, you want to be opportunistic. And I think Tennessee did that again, being a lower tier job. But, you know, Jay-Z, correct me if I'm wrong, but I would imagine these go a lot like free agency visits, where, you know, I would imagine they all have a pretty good idea of where guys are leaning. Obviously, nothing's going to be an exact science, but I would imagine the Ravens were notified that Salah was made a pretty good offer, you know, kind of, you know, if you want to make a move, you better do it. That's what agents do. So yeah,
exactly.
That's where I'm like, I think it just tells you a lot about how the Ravens viewed Robert Salah, right? If he was their top guy and that's where they were going, they would have, you know, maybe turned up their desperation to make a move for him. So it just tells me he probably wasn't high up on that list. And on the flip side, it tells me he wasn't even that competitive, because I imagine the feedback to Salah's agent would have been like, listen, he's in the top three. You may as well be patient here. And then he can make a decision from there, of course. But if he really wanted to be with the Ravens and the Ravens had him at the top, I think you would have seen a little bit more patience there. So I think what I'm trying to say is you can take a little bit of information about how they viewed Robert Salah from this outcome. And I think Kevin Stefanski would have been the exact same thing. And so, you know, we'll see with some of these other, you know, we might see, you know, you could see Brian Flores hiring pretty quickly, where there doesn't seem to be a lot of buzz between the Ravens and Flores. But, you know, if a team makes a move on him, I would imagine it'll be much the same thing, where if the Ravens wanted to make a move, they'd kind of turn up the heat. So that's why I think the lack of familiarity with this process, in addition to, I think, some of these moves telling you more than what's on the surface, is why I'm not as panicked as some of the folks on social media seem to be.
Yeah, one thing to add to that, Cole, five or six of these guys are represented by Jimmy Sexton, who's the foremost coaching agent, or one of Jimmy Sexton's associates. So they know what's going on. They know who's a favorite. Yeah, they know who's a favorite. They know who's a favorite for these jobs. And, you know, it's nothing that's happened so far in the coaching search and in this crazy coaching carousel where there's been 10 openings. Nothing has spurred the Ravens to alter their course. Why would they right now? Like, what has happened? John Harbaugh was not coming back here. As I said, he's not going to be back in the building to his Ring of Honor ceremony. Robert Salah, as I said, was a guy they interviewed and they liked, but there's no indication that he was a favorite or one of the favorites for the job. And he also had second interviews planned with Arizona and was a candidate elsewhere. So if he had felt good about it, you know, he probably would have waited. So that, you know, Kevin Stefanski, I think the Ravens liked, and I think he would have been a finalist here. But I don't think Kevin Stefanski was kind of the holy grail of this coaching search. You know, this is a guy they know well. They played against twice a year. I always thought it was going to be a hard sell to the fan base that you're hiring a guy that the 5-win Browns in your division just fired. So I think they would have liked if Stefanski was an option, but I don't think they liked him well enough where they were going to completely alter course and say, you know what, we got to move quickly. Forget about talking to all these other guys. Kevin's our guy. And, you know, obviously they didn't even interview Jeff Hafley. He wasn't even on their list. So, you know, nothing's happened that's really forced them to change. And I think now the question is, and, you know, Adam Schefter from ESPN kind of said this today, where feels like a draft scenario where the Ravens just sit where they are and wait for a good coach to fall to them because they're confident they're going to get one of the guys they like. And I agree with that to an extent. I think we're at the process where they probably really like three or four guys and would be comfortable with three or four of these guys remaining being their head coach. And if one of them goes off the board, okay, we'll shift to another guy that we really like. Now, if out of that group, there's one guy that is clearly above everyone else, I think that's where they move quickly and say, we got to get him before he gets poached from someone else. But I don't know that they're there yet. I don't know that there's this clear-cut favorite that they just say, look, we have to have. I mean, I think they would be comfortable with Jesse Minter as their head coach. I've said on the show for a month now, or it seems like a month, that they've always viewed Anthony Weaver as a future coach. The owner loves him. They really think he has that kind of personality. I think they really like two of the younger guys that can't be talked to till next week. Davis Webb of the Broncos and Skeelhaus of the Rams. And, you know, I think there's some veteran coaches in there that they really like that could be joining the organization in some capacity, even if they're not the head coach. So I think right now they view a market that has some options that they really like, and they don't feel really the need to kind of get a jump on things and go out there. I still think they feel they have the best job and people will be patient. But yeah, I mean, there may come a time where they have a decision to make. Like, for example, if Jesse Minter has one or two offers in hand from the Browns or the Raiders, and they're like, you know what? He's probably in the lead right now. Let's not take the chance of losing him. But I don't know if they're at that point yet, guys.
First super chat of the evening's rolled in. De Niro writes, I have more respect and the leadership with this process. They are not listening to the noise. They are sticking to their program. It's kind of exactly what Schefter hinted at, and Jeff, you just kind of commented on. And let's get an update on the live poll as well as we approach 350 votes. And a big show tonight. Concurrent number is north of 700. So needless to say, appreciate you guys for being with us. If you could on the way in, like the video, subscribe, hit that notification bell. We'll get to as many super chats as we can as they come in. Kubiak is in the driver's seat so far early on in this vote. And we just simply ask you guys, call your shot. Who are you taking? Kubiak at 57%, Minter at 31%, Weaver 7%, Webb 5%. Cole, at this point, when you think about your finalist list and the way it's been tweaked since a couple of those hires have been made, who intrigues you more? Which side of the football?
See, and my perspective on this, like, and this is why I like working with you guys so much, because you guys look at this thing differently than I always look at it from mostly an X's and O's perspective. And I fully acknowledge there's more to it than that. There's more to it than being a good coach. But when I look at what someone is going to bring this team, my preference has been the offensive side of the ball, because that's where your star is. That's where your best player is in Lamar Jackson. That's where I would like to have some continuity. I really don't want to get into, a carousel of offensive coordinators under a defensive-minded head coach. So with that being said, I really lean towards who I think is the best fit on that side of the ball. And it really, it's kind of kept coming back to him. It's Clint Kubiak. And so I know there's a lot of talk out there around, you know, what's his leadership style? What's his personality? Those are things that, again, I'm just not going to have. Like, he'll answer those questions in the interview. It's not for me to decide. Again, I look at this from an X's and O's perspective. I think when you look at the type of scheme he runs, I think it's a great fit. I think what he's done really well as a young coach is he's put a lot of seasoned guys around him. You know, John Benton, Rick Dennison, guys that may make up for his lack of leadership qualities at this point in his career, just being a younger coach. And we've seen guys like Mike McDonald, who was known as being a little bit more on the quiet side, and now he's a little bit on, you know, the flip side, just from, you know, growing up quick. So can Clint Kubiak do that? Can he answer those questions in an interview? Can he, you know, portray himself as that leader of men that the Ravens are going to want? Those are all things that I'm not sitting in the interviews. I won't be able to speak to, but that's where I would look to go, stay on that side of the ball. And I just think Clint Kubiak is a really good fit. A lot of things that Seattle is doing are things that I think mesh really well with the Ravens offense. He's got that outside zone scheme. He's able to unlock some of those deep threat wide receivers with how he's scheming up the pass game His background as a pass game coordinator, and again, bringing in guys like John Benton, Rick Dennison, who have more of the run game focus. So it's kind of, you know, that's been part of what Shanahan's strategy has been, is to match pass game coordinators with run game coordinators and create consistent offenses. So that's where my mind would go.
Hey, Jeff, Pelissero noted earlier that Mike McDaniel, who's spoken to the Ravens, at least on an initial basis here, is withdrawing or has already withdrew from the head coaching search in Cleveland. Perhaps they end up promoting Jim Schwartz when it's all said and done. We'll have to wait and see. But as we know, Raiders, Ravens, head coach opportunities perhaps as a candidate for Mike. He's also got, as Tom notes, a bunch of different offensive coordinator interest, including the Chargers, who fired Greg Roman last week. I believe I saw he was looking at Tampa Bay. And maybe that's, like Albert Breer noted, that that's something that, do you kind of play the long game there, and knowing that Todd Bowles doesn't have a ton of time left, perhaps as a tenure there from a head coach perspective. So, you know, suggesting that Mike might take himself out, as he did here with Cleveland, from the entire hiring cycle if he's not thrilled with that opportunity, knowing that if he lands somewhere as the play caller, perhaps he becomes the guy in 1, 2, 3 years time. What do you make of his candidacy so far?
Yeah, I think Mike McDaniel he's kind of become the bell of the ball in a lot of ways. It seems like everybody wants him, even if it's just to be their offensive coordinator, and I don't want to belittle that. And he's going to have some good options, as you said. Being Justin Herbert's offensive coordinator is a pretty good gig nowadays. Going to Tennessee, and one of his good buddies is Robert Saleh, and you know, being with Cam Ward there with a head coach that's going to get, you know, some time to establish things, and he'd obviously be the guy to run the whole offense. That's another good spot. Sean McVay lose a couple of his assistants where he could bring back his, I mean, that guy is going to be able to do whatever he wants. And I think it's just a matter of, you know, everybody you talk to about him says he's just so dynamic in the interview room, and he's, you know, really smart and creative. I would think he's in the mix with the Ravens still, whether that's that more as a head, whether they see him more as a head coach or more as the OC. I'm not 100% sure of that. I know that, you know, they've always had a lot of respect for him and his offensive scheme. I think that it would be, I'd love covering that guy. He just seems to be a lot of fun and an interesting dude with some real personality. And we lost
a big fan of those short pants, you know?
Yeah. But I mean, we lost a lot of personality with Todd Monken walking out of the door. We're all going to miss him. So we need a character in that spot. But no, I think he's definitely in the mix, and Baltimore will be an option. And it goes back to what I said earlier. They interviewed 16 guys, and it's not out of the question that three of them are on staff. You know, you get a head coach and two of these guys. Like, I think Cliff Kingsbury has a far better shot on being an offensive coordinator for the Ravens than a head coach. That's just where I look at. I think I would probably say that about McDaniel, but I don't know that for sure. I don't want to rule him out of the head coach job, because he's an impressive guy. I could see him really hitting it off with Lamar Jackson. And so, you know, it'll be interesting what they do. And I'll play devil's advocate from what Cole said, and I don't disagree with Cole. Let me be clear on that, but for the purpose of the discussion, I would prefer the offensive head coach for the exact reasons Cole said. But I think, and I've talked to other people around the league, and they said that. They said to me, look, they're going to have a really good offense as long as Lamar Jackson's healthy. Lamar Jackson won a freaking MVP with Greg Roman as his offensive coordinator. He should have won two MVPs with Todd Monken as his offensive coordinator. And that's not dismissing those guys. The fact of the matter is, if he's healthy and they have good pieces on offense, they're going to have a great offense. That's Lamar Jackson. He's one of the best players in the league. What the Ravens need to fix is the defensive side. So bringing a head coach that could clean that up, and as long as he brings in a dynamic offensive coordinator, they should not miss a beat. Now, I do question some of that theory because, yeah, you don't want this to become a revolving door and have Lamar have to get used to a new play caller. But I'm hiring Jesse Minter if he can convince me on the right offensive coordinator. I don't even know if they know each other, or I'm sure they know each other from the coaching fraternity. But if he can bring in a Mike McDaniel as his offensive coordinator, and you could pair Jesse Minter with Mike McDaniel, I would have hired Jesse Minter yesterday if that could happen.
Agreed.
But I sense Mike McDaniel has a lot of options, and I don't know if he'd be at committal. I don't know about Jesse Minter's comfort level with particular coordinators. You hear Cliff Kingsbury aligned with several of these Ravens head coaching candidates. You hear him aligned with Anthony Weaver. You hear him aligned with Jesse Minter. So, you know, if his guy is Cliff Kingsbury, that could be too. But if you could get that dynamic offensive guy, I have zero problem with them going for the defensive-minded head coach.
That's great. Great way to put it, Jeff. I think it, like, if you're looking at the best combination of a
which Bisciotti said they're doing, if you recall from his press conference.
Yeah, and if you're looking for the best combo of offensive and defensive play callers together, so obviously one of those guys could be the head coach. But I mean, you put up Minter, maybe Kubiak and Flores could compete with that in terms of that pairing. But I don't know, like Minter with McDaniel, you could sell me on that pretty quickly. That's for sure.
Certainly. R. Young says, I think Davis Webb is the sneaky one. Due diligence interview with the special teams coach. They want to retain Horton, but not a play caller. So a couple different things here.
Is Garofalo, he referring to Darren Rizzi there? Is that
I think he is. And I've not heard him as a candidate. I know it's been reported out of Denver. Maybe he becomes one, but that screams of a smokescreen to me to get teams off the scent of different guys. I don't know that he's in there. You know, they're not waiting to interview the Denver Broncos special teams coach. And if I'm wrong on that, I'll be happy to admit I'm an idiot. But to me, that screams of either a smokescreen to get people thinking you're not waiting on one of the other guys that's coaching Sunday, or you're looking for to talk to him potentially if you hire Davis Webb and you want to hire you want him to bring Darren Rizzi as a potential assistant head coach to get an experienced guy or a special teams guy. I would be surprised if he's in the running for the head coach for the head coaching job. And what was the other? I agree. Davis Webb is absolutely a candidate here. I think I haven't talked to many people in the building about him. But everybody I talk to around the league is real. He's going to be a head coach, and they believe he's going to be a star. It's just a matter of, is he ready now? And do the Ravens entrust a Super Bowl caliber roster that they hope to build this offseason to a young guy who's never been a play caller in the NFL? So that'll be an interesting decision. But that's a good post, good super chat, because I agree with his sentiment about Davis Webb.
Hard not to be crushed for Bo Nix. Speaking of Davis, I mean, those two obviously worked hand in hand together, and Bo was having a tremendous postseason and a tremendous game and putting them in a position to win the game. And that adrenaline must have been running hot, because to have a fracture in your ankle and play and interview as if nothing ever happened is wow.
Did you see that picture too? They sent a picture of him kind of gathered with his family after how distraught he was. And who was the guy sitting right next to him? It was Davis Webb. I'm telling you guys, people love him. Yeah. You know, when he was a backup quarterback, they essentially considered him a quarterback coach. He was basically a coach masquerading as a third string quarterback. So I don't know if he's the guy here, but he will be head coaching, and it will be sooner rather than later.
And imagine getting paid $1 million to do that too. Just blows your mind.
Just to kind of wrap this up right here too, speaking to the special teams discussion, let me go ahead and throw this up. Let's see, because this was from Garofalo right before we came on, that Chris Horton is among a handful of coaches the team has blocked for lateral moves. Anthony Levine Sr., Randy Brown might also be retained, Garofalo says. That's interesting, because I just saw CoCap, as he used to be fondly referred to as in the Baltimore locker room. I believe he interviewed for the vacancy in special teams in Tampa, Jeff.
Yeah, they hired Danny Smith, the Pittsburgh Steelers, longtime special teams coach. Yeah, you know, this is interesting, guys. You know, on one hand, Bisciotti pretty much blistered the coaching staff and just made it clear it wasn't good enough. So you'd think they'd be willing to let some of these guys go. But there's also the segment that, like, you know, the Ravens don't rid themselves of they don't get rid of assets very easily. And that's kind of how they view these assistant coaches. Look, they're under contract with us. Like, we like some of these young coaches, and it's not our job to let them go elsewhere. And the other aspect of this, and I was thinking a lot about it today, is they got a lot of – there's possibility that they could hire a very young coach for this job. And a young coach may not have a ton of staff he's bringing with them. So they could – suggest they keep three or four of these guys, and the young coach kind of has people who knows the system and already has some guys in place. But yeah, that's accurate. I don't think they want to lose Chris Horton necessarily, but more of they want the new coach to make the decision. But what sucks for the current coaches is as they wait for a new coach to come in and decide their fate, these jobs are closing. So, I mean, people are taking these chairs and they don't know, you know, so there's just uncertainty there. And I think that angers assistant coaches. They want to be let go so they can make a decision. But, you know, they could stay if the new coach wants them to stay, or if the team kind of pushes them on the new coach or just suggests these are good coaches. You don't have a guy for this position. Let's keep him here. Or they, as I said, they could be let go. But when they get let go, is there going to be the jobs available that they want? So it's a tough, you know, I understand both perspectives, but this is the kind of thing that ticks off coaches and coaching agents and assistant coaches when you do this. But, you know, from the Ravens perspective, hey, these guys are under contract. You know, we're paying these guys well, and you know, we're not, it's not our job to provide good coaches for other coaches around the NFL. So.
Boy, seeing Randy Brown without John Harbaugh being attached to the hip would be a crazy sight, but that's very much what could be in play here. We got more super chats to come. We do need to talk about John as well from an introductory press conference standpoint briefly. I know there's one specific topic that Cole wants to get into related to his speech and maybe in his written form statement-wise in recent weeks. But first, this message right here.
Sleeper is the number one fantasy sports app. It pays to know sports. Pick more or less on top players. Your first pick is on us, so start winning now. Play in Texas, Georgia, Minnesota, and 27 more states. Pick anytime across all sports, pregame or live. Over 10 million players are already on Sleeper. Make your picks count. Score up to 1,000 times your cash. Join today. Get up to $100 credit using code HMA. Call your shot on Sleeper. Download now.
Thanks to Sleeper for supporting this program all season long. You can use promo code HMA. You'll get up to a $100 match on your first deposit. Terms and conditions do apply. You can see Sleeper's terms of use for details. It's currently operational in over 25 states. You can check them out today. We appreciate Sleeper for sponsoring this program here inside the Collective. We're coming up on 1,000 concurrents tonight, gentlemen. It's been a hot couple weeks. If you guys could on the way in, please like the video, subscribe. Hit that notification bell. Let's get to a couple more super chats as well. Diamond Bull writes, have we heard anything about Nate Shieldhouse? Jeff, you wanted to throw him in our pre-show meeting to your final four. Yeah. Well, let me put it into the poll. I'm not saying it was your final four, but what are your thoughts on a young pass game coordinator for Sean McVay? He lit it up at the University of Illinois during his collegiate career as a quarterback, and obviously Stafford is flourishing. Maybe not because of Nate, but it doesn't hurt that Nate's in the building with him.
Yeah, so much of this is what we kind of discussed earlier, guys. And it's, yes, he is green. Yes, there will be some growing pains. However, the upside is through the roof. And can you afford to hire a guy like that that will probably take his lumps early, will have to learn a lot about the job, may not be polished and ready for it right now, but has star potential? And you talk to people around the league, they believe this guy's going to be a coaching star. And Sean McVay's word right now matters. His coaching tree is pretty impressive. And I think he believes in this guy. He loves this guy. Again, just like Dave Webb, he will be a head coach and relatively soon, if not this offseason. I know the Steelers interviewed him. I believe the Browns are waiting for a second interview with him. I think he would be in my top six right now, if I'm breaking down the Ravens' potential candidates, he'd be ahead of a lot of these other guys. But I think the question is going to come up with both him and Davis Webb. This is a huge hire. The Ravens can't get this hire wrong. And that's a lot. It's a big leap of faith. You're taking a leap on potential. But again, there's a lot of people that really like this guy, and he absolutely should be in this conversation.
Just to kind of, you know, put a pin in him, because a lot of people have compared it to the hiring of John Harbaugh, just because there was he was kind of an unknown, I guess, in the head coach candidate, because he was coming from a special teams background. But you got to remember, John Harbaugh has been coaching football since 1984, so it's not like, you know, he was a young guy, just got done his playing career, and only had, you know, I think Shielhaus has only coached for 7 years, and only the last few in the NFL. So I don't really see it as a like for like. I keep seeing that comparison. I think people were surprised that the Baltimore Ravens went with a special teams coordinator as their head coach, but I really don't see the comparison.
Here he is, by the way, just in case you guys aren't spruced up on Nate Shielhaus. Had a great career at Illinois as quarterback, and as Schrager noted here almost 2 weeks ago now at this point, 35, like you were kind of alluding to, both of you guys, young, and that McVay tree, obviously, given the track record. And I'm sorry, I didn't even have this up on the screen. Here he is right here in action. Sorry about that. So that is Nate Shielhaus. Jeff would put him in his top six. Jeff, maybe we can get a few more of those names that you would throw in there projection-wise before we finish up. Tyler writes, just promise that Jesse doesn't bring Roman back, meaning Greg, if it ends up being Jesse. Chimself writes, not sure why everyone is so low on Weaver. A gritty-minded coach. Lamar, the offense can compete for who is better. Don't want to be the Bengals. And not a chance you read this. Writes, what's the consensus on Campanelli? Thank you. We had a Jacksonville analyst on our show yesterday, Inside the Vault. I thought she gave, Mia O'Brien is her name. She gave kind of a cool quote, and I'll go ahead and look that up, Jeff, while you weigh in on one of the Ravens' latest candidates who just finished up year one under Liam Cohen in Jacksonville.
Well, he's a Jersey guy, which means hire him. That's all I really care about. Just get as many Jersey guys on the staff as possible, and let's go from there. I think, first of all, this one surprised me a little bit, just because it kind of came out of nowhere. We thought they were in the second, and we thought they were in the second round of interviews, and all of a sudden they brought this guy in who has been available interview for the last 7-8 days. So, people seem to really like this guy. He's an up-and-coming coach. He did a terrific job with that Jacksonville defense. I would be surprised if he's among the finalists here, just by how this all broke down and the interview schedule and all that. However, you know, there's a lot to like there. I just think if you're going to go a defensive guy, you're probably going to go Minter, right? I think if that's your direction, you probably will wind up going Jesse Minter rather than, Campanile. However, you know, he's an interesting prospect, and he's exactly the type of guy that they should be talking to. You know, an up-and-coming coach who is likely going to be a future head coach, and certainly has some ideas, has worked with a lot of good coaches, and certainly has some ideas on how to build the defense.
Cole, I assume that you've seen the Hard Knocks clip by now?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. Should we run it?
Yeah, run it if you got it.
All right, let's run it, because the Jersey accent that Jeff is kind of touting tremendous here without actually touting it is about to be on full display. This is courtesy of NFL Films, Hard Knocks. Let's see, do I have the censored or non-censored version? We're about to see. Off we go. Here he is.
That's football at its best. That's us at our best. You're at your best when you're doing things for people you love. All the time you practice, all the time you spend away from the people you love, okay? Our job is on Sunday, literally, to honor those people. That's it. That's our job. To go out there and honor the people you love. Play as fucking hard as you can. Attack the fucking ball like it's some guy running down the street with your mother, your father. I don't know who my kids, whatever. Like, that'll make me out of my fucking mind. There ain't no fucking way that guy's getting away from me.
And you certainly ain't anybody getting in my fucking path to block me, to stop me from bringing them back in my life. That ain't gonna fucking happen, okay? But if you treat it like that all the time, you fucking practice like that, you commit to practicing like that with each other, you're fucking unstoppable. Don't know who the fuck is gonna stop you from doing what you wanna do. Everybody understands ass whooping, okay? I can go to Greece and somebody start getting their fucking ass whooped, we all understand what's happening, okay? We're all speaking the same language, right? We might not be able to communicate, but if somebody got their ass kicked, nothing's lost in translation, okay? All over the world, they speak ass whooping, okay? To the day you die, okay? So here's what I'm saying. Let's eliminate that factor. They can't outwork you. Eliminate that, and let's see what the fuck happens. Let the chips fall where they met, okay? Let's all just commit to each other. That's what we're going to do.
I think we get the point, right?
Just hire him.
I think we got to ask the question, though. Is he too Italian for Steve Bisciotti? I think.
Hey, Jeff, where would we send him?
Right? Steve Bisciotti said we don't have enough Italians, so they go out and get Campanelli. They get Darren Rizzi. They got to bring him in.
Jeff,
set up
where
shop
would we
in Little him? Italy, right?
I was just going to say, where should we set? Can we get a penthouse maybe above Vaccaro's?
Or
somewhere in Little Italy where he could just kind of sequestered down, right? They can bring a chauffeur down to get him up and down from Owings Mills, or maybe he needs a townhome up in Owings Mills and the penthouse.
I'm sorry, though. That Jersey accent is beautiful.
Oh, so good. Anyway, that is who they refer to as Camp, who did a pretty good darn good job under Liam Cohen in year one with Jacksonville. So anyway, that is that. And yes, you got the uncensored version. Let's see if our copyright and our overall YouTube community guidelines survive this program. All right, let's do this. Cole, I know you wanted to briefly mention, and granted, there were some things learned today, I would say, right, from John Harbaugh's introductory press conference. This was the first time that he spoke on record rather than, you know, written statements to Ian O'Connor, and his statement that, you know, was given out through the Ravens when it was ultimately said and done and he was shown the door. So today, you know, kind of the high level stuff was that he poo-pooed any kind of noise out there of friction between he and Lamar Jackson, certainly suggested that Todd Monken, without actually coming out and confirming it, will be the offensive coordinator there. There are reports that Anthony Weaver is the favorite from Connor Hughes, who's an NFL reporter, to serve as the defensive coordinator. We've kind of alluded to that throughout the program. But Cole, this is yet again, whether it's indirectly or directly, and I know there's only some people that care about this, and since you are the quote-unquote fan of the show, why don't you weigh in on John Harbaugh's decision, whether it's calculated or not, to not directly thank the fans, as a lot of these other dismissed coaches have in their statements throughout the last couple weeks?
Yeah, I think it was definitely intentional because, you know, he had time to sit and write the note, and there was a little bit of blowback to it, right, for the lack of mentioning the fans. And I'm sure, you know, much like we've had, and you've seen it over the years. I mean, you go back a couple of years ago with the people at the end of the bar, right? Like, that was showing a direct frustration with some of the fan narratives around him. So I mean, I don't think he's sitting there searching his name on Twitter or anything, but I think he definitely hears the noise. And I just, my perspective from the fan is like, I'm thankful for John Harbaugh's time here. I thought he was here, you know, a little bit too long. I've minced no words about that, but I still thought he was a good head coach overall when he was here, and he's moved on. So who gives a shit? Like, that's kind of my perspective on it. You know, it's kind of like he just kind of keeps kind of popping up into, and this will continue to come up. There'll be comparisons drawn and we'll see what he does in New York and all of that. But it's just time to move on from John Harbaugh. Like, you know, it was time to move on. We moved on, and, you know, I'm just kind of sick of hearing about it. That was kind of my perspective on the whole thing. But, you know, I think he paid attention to the noise, and I'm sure he felt disrespected. And, you know, he's entitled to feel however he wants to feel. I think, you know, Steve Bisciotti made it very clear what the two reasons were. I think those are objective reasons. And it's just time to everybody moves on. We got, you know, a new coach coming in. It's going to be a fresh new era in Baltimore Ravens football. And to me, that's the biggest takeaway of this whole thing. So who the hell gives a shit what John Harbaugh does with the New York Giants? Best of luck to you. We'll cheer for you at your Ring of Honor induction, and we move on.
Jeff, were there any things that you kind of saw from afar today that stood out to you that I haven't already mentioned in terms of the way that he handled the day? And, you know, obviously there was a huge welcoming, and anybody in who's somebody, you know, involved in New York media was there. And he sat up there for 15, 20 minutes and, you know, gave some of an off the cuff speech. Others parts of it were, you know, were written, and then took questions and fielded them, and then sat down with an interview with Tiki Barber on WFAN and a couple other hosts. But anything that you wanted to add on this topic?
No, I think both sides are moving on. I'm sure there's going to be some lingering bitterness with John Harbaugh, even though he may deny it. And I could get on my soapbox here and, you know, anytime somebody, let me just, I don't know, I probably shouldn't say this, but why is people surprised that he says he had, and him and Lamar were best of friends? And why are we surprised that Todd Monken said he didn't have an issue, and Lamar Jackson has said, I didn't have an issue? And do you think these guys want that out there? Do you think they want to? Yeah, we didn't like each other. We butted heads. There was frustration. Like, why do we, like, oh, you guys are all lying. You guys all made this stuff up because they said so. Like, okay, the end of the story, it never happened. It all's just made up. But I think John will distance himself from that. I think John had a great run, will be in the Ring of Honor, deserves all the flowers he gets. But I very much agree with Cole. I mean, to steal a line from my, one of my friends in the media business, Brian Costello, he covers the Jets for the New York Post. He said that this John Harbaugh hiring was covered more in depth than some presidential elections. And I would kind of agree with that. So he's got his work cut out for him. I think there will be, I'll be interested to see if some of this coaching stuff comes to a head. If they just deny him all these coaches, and whether that creates any lingering kind of bitterness. And, you know, we go from there. But I think Steve Bisciotti and Eric DaCosta and Dick Cass and these guys are all be lifelong friends of John Harbaugh. And right now is probably one of those uncomfortable periods that they'll have to kind of navigate. It'll probably help that these teams won't play for several years. And by the time they do play, or they're scheduled to play next, which I think is until, was it 2028 or 29? I'm sure they'll all have had many conversations at owners' meetings and combines and Senior Bowl since, and they'll all be the best of friends again. But yeah, I think both sides are ready to move on from all this. And I didn't, you know, it was glaring. Several things were glaring. One, it was glaring seeing how different Sean McDermott's statement to Bills fans was than John Harbaugh's. And it was also glaring, look, like, let's be honest here. It was glaring seeing how much Bills players went to defend Sean McDermott, and the reaction of Bills players and the reaction of Green Bay Packers players when it was talked about that Matt LaFleur could be in jeopardy. I mean, it was night. Look, I know the criticism that, you know, some players turned on him probably burns John Harbaugh more than any other, but it's hard to, you know, reconcile the different reactions in the various locker rooms. So that just tells you, I think it was time to move on for everybody's benefit. Great coach, good man. He'll do a great job in New York, but this is a needed change for both sides.
Well said. More super chats have come in. Jake says, thoughts on Chris Shula? Also, is Lamar a part of the second meetings? Any idea if he's taken up the offer to get on that jet, Jeff?
I don't know that for sure. Like most things related to Lamar, that seems to be being kept top secret and we're not in the building. My understanding is players are taking part of this, but I'm not sure if it's Zoom, in person. I don't know the full answer to that, but players are involved with these interviews. Team leaders are involved in these interviews, is my understanding.
What we'll do, guys, is we'll get the Toronto Blue Jays guys on the flight tracker, and we'll see where we're flying from, because that's what we do best up here when it comes to the Toronto Blue Jays. We track flights to see who's coming and who's going.
And Shula's a good name. He's another good name. Yeah, you know, I don't know that he'll be a finalist here, but I would not surprise me if he gets a second interview. It'll be interesting to see what happens early next week if they're willing to wait. You know, if they wanted to, you know, if Weaver's their guy, okay. But Minter, if those guys aren't given an offer by Friday or Saturday, you can pretty much assume they're waiting for this other batch of assistants to be available early next week. And I think that'll be very telling who they're sort of honing in on.
Cat Mim writes, will there be third rounds of interviews? As you noted earlier this morning, you know, they're essentially in round two with some of these so-called finalists, right? The Bradys, the Weavers, the Minters as of later this week, as you noted earlier on. But I mean, how would you answer this one?
Yeah, I think it's kind of semantics, Bobby. Like, may they sit down with these guys a third time? Sure. But that's only if they have an unresolved decision to make and they're talking about other things. I don't see names getting continually added, or I don't see them going from 16 to 5 down to 3 down to the 1. So if there's third round of talks, it's going to be more kind of centered on, you know, certain guys, not a whole new round of candidates, if that makes sense.
Yep. Cole, why don't you take this one from Incog. This is Tank Romansky.
New York going 2-15 because of Petty Harbaugh takes 77-2. To be fair, they could go 2-15 if 77's up there blocking.
Did you see their schedule next
minutes, guys? It took 46 minutes for Dana Falele hit.
Did you see their schedule next year?
Woo. It looks bad. Yeah,
it looks bad. They're gonna be a new offensive and defensive system. You're going to have several of their key players, Malik Nabers, Scadabo. There's going to be some guys coming off major injuries. And we've all seen that movie before, how long it takes kind of those guys.
Trying to throw shade, but can you picture John Harbaugh's injury updates with a New York media? Like he thinks we're loud at the end of the bar. Wait till he gets a hold of the New York Giant fans. They are in he's going to be fine, but man, it's going to be an explosive couple months when he gets there.
Dude,
you sound so excited about those prospects.
I'm just saying it might be interesting.
Literally, you got Exhibit A earlier today when he sat down with the WFAN guys. They're just straight up asking him about Lamar, straight up asking him about Steve and what was the team that he told you. And he goes, he didn't tell me a team. You know, like these guys are just
yeah,
so
I saw
direct.
They asked him about Lamar taking a knee to set up the loop field goal.
Yes, they got it into all of it. Credit them. There's going to be 5 years. If he lasts 5 years or if he goes beyond that, it's going to be that, John. Just so you know, this is not Baltimore, right? Be More Vince writes, Jeff, with Harb's gone, will the way the media is handled be different moving forward? Can we expect press passes return to all media members?
I don't think John Harbaugh had any input on who has press passes and who is not.
This is a long-standing rumor that people that press John Harbaugh and stuff got their press passes revoked. That's been going on for years.
Oh, okay. I'm not really sure. I mean, I don't think John Harbaugh ever got anybody's credential canceled or credential revoked. I don't think he had really any say in that. It'll be interesting just the cooperation for the media, how practices are scheduled, the open locker room. Are you allowed to tweet on the field during practices? All that. I think there probably will be discussion with the new head coach about different media rules, but I don't think the head coach is going to be in charge of who gets a media pass and who doesn't.
Fellas, we got some breaking news. And in this case, you can take off and scratch off one of the candidates, because Mike McDaniel apparently had a successful lunch with Jim Harbaugh and company. He's going to go serve as offensive coordinator in LA. So there you have it.
Yep, Schefter, breaking news.
Yep. All the other insiders are hitting it. He's expected to become the Chargers OC. Jeff, instant reaction to this one?
Yeah, I think that doesn't surprise me. You know, that's a really good job. And Justin Herbert is a guy a lot of coaches want to work with. Mike McDaniel seems like an L.A. guy to me. And, you know, that's an offer in
Those
hand.
Those pants definitely fly in L.A. Good point.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think people, as desirable as the job is, I think everybody thinks that these guys are all just going to wait around for the Ravens. Well, I don't want to say everybody thinks that. I think some people do. It just doesn't work that way. You know, like, a lot of, like, for McDaniel purposes, he'll be a candidate next year. Like if Justin Herbert has an MVP type year, Mike McDaniel will be one of the leading candidates to get a big job next year. So that this does not surprise me at all that he was unwilling to. Well, you know, I don't know if how many offers he had in hand, but this seems to be a good situation if you're going to be an offensive coordinator in the NFL.
All right, guys. So you can cross off McDaniel, cross off Saleh. Let's see.
Stefanski.
Halfley, like you said, was never involved, at least directly, but he goes to Miami. So
Matt Nagy's still available, fellas.
No, he isn't. No,
you've been waiting all show. You've been waiting all show, haven't you?
Oh, man.
He's a Chiefs player.
I cannot believe how the Chiefs did him dirty. I mean, the guy I know his contract was up, but they hired another guy while he was interviewing for jobs. It's like, okay, you can go get your head coaching job, but you're not coming back here. I thought that was pretty harsh. I can't imagine that helped his candidacy for the Titans head coaching job when they found out that this guy was basically getting let go by the Chiefs.
That's rough. That is rough. M. Champagne. If you look at the numbers, by the way, since he took over, for Bienemy, not great in Kansas City offensively, including Mahomes. M. Champagne, super sticker. Appreciate you for being with us tonight.
What Someone in the chat just mean? Said Nagy graduated, and that was a really, really well said, Mark. He did graduate.
What does super sticker mean?
It's just another form of supporting the show, Jeff.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. Vinny Rawl, I love this. This is great, great theater. Our group message is becoming one of the more enjoyable parts of my day, I might add. Mini Rawl writes, how come no one is talking, especially when Cole has his boxing gloves on. Mini Rawl writes, how come no one is talking about the history of the Shula family in Baltimore? He couldn't get it done in 69, but then led the Dolphins to undefeated seasons. Nope. Has no one been speaking on this?
I mean, look, we're well aware who his grandfather is. It would be an interesting connection in Baltimore, and I'm sure it'll be one of the questions that, you know, is kind of makes that kind of a feel good story. If he was able to come back as a head coach of the Ravens, that would be a cool story.
Yeah. By the way, an hour ago, Cleveland did confirm that Todd Monken has been interviewed for a second head coach gig. So just so that we're kind of, you know, crossing all of our T's, dotting I's here.
I know we've moved on from this, guys, yeah, but I'd be fascinated to know who John Harbaugh's offensive coordinator would be if Todd Monken goes elsewhere.
Greg Roman.
No, no way he could get away with that.
Jeff, do you think that T. Martin winds up staying in Baltimore?
What's that?
You think that T. Martin winds up staying in Baltimore?
He's Lamar's guy, right? Like,
yeah, he's the closest coach to Lamar. Lamar loves him. And look, I don't, you know, T's a good coach. So it's, you know, it's not just Lamar. The problem is if you hire an offensive coach, his biggest charge is going to be to form a strong rapport with Lamar Jackson. Lamar needs to be his guy. And he's going to want people who he's most comfortable with around Lamar. Like if you hire let's just say Davis Webb, he's probably going to bring in his own quarterback coach or somebody he's most comfortable with to deal with Lamar and to get to know Lamar. He's going to want direct contact as much as possible with Lamar. And is this T. Martin fit in that dynamic? I think that's the question that, you know, we'd have to ask. But T's a great dude. Lamar loves him. Lamar trusts him. So, you know, that certainly right away warrants conversation for keeping him.
Yeah. Cole, do you have an updated, our final docket item over here on the left-hand side is finalist projections. I think people can start to put two and two together with some of the names like the Minters that clearly I think would be on, you know, if all three of us were to, you know, gun to the head, put up a top five finalist list. I think Minter's an obvious pick for that. Where he falls in the five, who knows? But Cole, do you kind of have an update now that Sal is gone top five personally for you?
Yeah, I mean, like, well, my... It's been kind of weird to make a personal top five when we know Joe Brady's one of the five, right? Because like he wouldn't have been on mine, but he's on theirs. So, you know, if you go back to the words that Eric DaCosta actually said about how he was going to do it, he did specifically say five. So we'll work off that. So if I was to bring in two additional guys in addition to Joe Brady, Anthony Weaver, and Jesse Minter. Based on who's left, I probably would go with Clint Kubiak, and I made my reasons clear. And then I'd probably go Chris Shula, honestly, because with Chris Shula, you're going to get a little bit of the similarities that you're getting with Jesse Minter in terms of some of the advantages of a guy that can come in and call a good defense and call a sound scheme. But the big thing that Shula has, and I mean, I think Campanelli would have this as well, is he's going to have that tap into offensive coaches from the Shanahan McVay tree, which there's always going to be those relationships naturally built. Now, one thing I will say about Jesse Minter, because there has been, and Jeff's mentioned it over the last few weeks, and anytime I talk to anyone, I hear it, you know, there's a lot of fluff around Cliff Kingsbury as a potential offensive coordinator. And there's a very interesting connection between Cliff Kingsbury and Jesse Minter that doesn't really show up unless you dig into it. So Jesse Minter, before he went to Michigan, he spent a year at Vanderbilt. He was the defensive coordinator for the Commodores. The offensive coordinator was David Ray. David Ray has been every place that Cliff Kingsbury has, including in Washington, the last 2 years. So I know it's a little bit more indirect, but you know, there's going to be that connection between Jesse and David Ray. I think he coached tight ends for the Commanders this year. So I think there's a lot of, like, my top guy's probably going to be Jesse Minter now, and that's probably going to include a Cliff Kingsbury offensive coordinator. And I've already tweeted this, and I've seen their reactions. That's not going to make fans happy, and I get it. I would probably go the opposite way of trying to tap into that Shanahan tree. But if I was a betting man, that's probably where I'd put my money as of today in terms of where this ends up.
Don't you love when Cole plays reporter, Bobby?
It's just that there's so much
this
smoke.
Is impressive. And you didn't even have to smoke. You don't even have to out a player's father to do it this time, Cole. you're really growing before our eyes.
We should. Yeah. We should get into Daddy Higgins. He might know what's going on.
The only one
getting into the castle right now is probably Mr. Higgins.
Hey, well, congrats to his son, who the Pro Football Writers of America named their all rookie team today. So congratulations to Teddy Buchanan.
Teddy and Jay.
Higgins. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sheesh. You know why I was thinking that? Because you and Buchanan got some history too, don't you?
He has a history with everybody, this guy.
Getting live tweeted by Jerry Coleman right now. It's great. He's watching the show right now. Hey, now, Jerry, hit the like button. Be sure to hit subscribe, bud.
Would you invite – should we have him on sometime, Cole?
Do it.
You know I've got to formally meet before you inevitably run into each other in Baltimore at some point.
I'm in.
You know, I'm sure he'd be up for it. Super chats have come in. GW Wells and Jeff, I'm curious if we could go back to you at some point here before we drop off, maybe with your five as we kind of, you know, throw shit at the wall in a sense. GW Wells writes, what are the chances EDC puts a first round pick on the table for a game changer, edge/wide receiver, etc.? Jeff?
I think when you're talking about whether the Eric DaCosta is going to be willing to trade a first round pick, specifically the 14th overall pick, which is way earlier than they're used to drafting, I think against it. However, I will say I would not rule it out. I think there's going to be we're going to see an aggressive Eric DaCosta this offseason. I think he knows, he hears it, he hears the criticism, he knows it, you know, he knows the shortcomings of the front office from last year, and I think they're going to work quickly and rapidly to address them. And if Lamar Jackson, if you get that contract done and you lower his cap number and you figure out some other things, they could find themselves in a cap situation where they could go out and get one of these guys. So not ruling it out, but again, anytime you're counting on the Ravens to trade premium draft picks, you're usually setting yourself up for disappointment.
JS19_Raven says, Jeff, you should go to Lamar's restaurant in the offseason, play action, soul food, and more. Perhaps could be a good offseason athletic article with food reviews. Should we forward this on to your supervisor at the Athletic?
Yeah, as long as they're picking up the tab, I'm good with it.
Do you want me to come with you? Like, down for a free lunch.
They have oxtail on the menu. I've never had oxtail, but it sounds good.
Wait a second. Canadian boy, are you loud in the country?
I don't think so, no. Aren't you guys taking over my country right now? What's even going on?
Primetime 2120. We ain't touching that. Primetime 2120 says, I'm boggled with the OC interest as head coach over Minter. The best chance Ravens had for titles was with McDonald as DC. Can easily make a case that Minter's defense was just as good as Houston's with less talent. Jack says, is there any chance that Cooper Rush comes back, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, he's not really included in a lot of the, you know, when we've had these conversations about the potential cuts, I think most of us talk about Broderick Washington and obviously Marlon Humphrey and what do you do with him. But, yeah, I would be shocked if Cooper Rush is back.
And, Jeff, if you were to put together outside of Minter, do you have a group of four that would round out your top five at the two?
On my list, like the guys that I would or what I think they'll do? My list would be, I would not have Joe Brady on it. I'll tell you that. I would have Weaver on it. I would have Jesse Minter on it. I would have Clint Kubiak on it. I would have, did I say Minter? Yep. Yeah, I did. I would have Clint Kubiak on it, and I would have Davis Webb on it, and I'd have Shieldhouse on it. I get some guys you're comfortable with and then take a swing on some guys who have extreme upside and you know, you can't be timid either. You can't be afraid to give one of these guys a shot. Everybody that makes these hires, you know, there's some success stories too of finding guys early and having them become Super Bowl winning coaches.
All right, hold on. You said Kubiak twice. Kubiak, Shieldhouse, Minter, Weaver, and who's your fifth?
Davis Webb.
Okay. And just to be clear, you gave us out of those two options. Was that what you think they should do? Or what were the two options that you gave and which one did you
I think the final six. God, there's so many names swimming in my head. And I would have told you Mike McDaniel would have been on the list as of 15 minutes ago that he might have been a finalist. But I would think if Mike had a chance to be the Ravens head coach, he may have held off, but who knows? Maybe the Jim Harbaugh said, look, I need an answer. I'm going to move on to the next guy. And he just didn't want to be left out. I don't know the inner workings of it. I think you obviously have the three guys that we know of that are coming for interviews or that Weaver already had his interview. I think I would add Davis Webb to that. I think I would add Nate Shieldhouse to that. And that's five. And yeah, six would have been Mike McDaniel would have been on that list. So I'll stick with those five with Cliff Kingsbury being an offensive coordinator candidate for one of those guys. And heck, I would not even be surprised if he doesn't get the head coaching job if Ozzie Newsome can lure Jim Schwartz to be the defensive coordinator. Like, I'm just saying, like, Jim Schwartz and Ozzie are close. Jim's a Baltimore guy, but it's going to depend. Like, if they are Jesse Minter, Jim Schwartz is not going to be here. It'd have to be an offensive-minded coach where you just say, okay, you take care of the offense. We're bringing Jim Schwartz in to take care of defense. Again, I'm not saying that's happened. It seems like he's the leader in the locker room the leader in the clubhouse, as they say, to be the Browns head coach. But I could see two or three of these guys we're talking about tonight winding up on the staff when all things are all said and done.
Okay. Just a note here on the McDaniel hire. And again, if you're just tuning in, we had breaking news about 15 minutes ago or so that Mike McDaniel, ex-Dolphins head coach, is Greg Roman's successor in L.A. under Jim Harbaugh with the Chargers. Darlington from ESPN, Jeff, says the Bucs and the Eagles both pursued him hard. The Ravens interviewed him. Several other teams were interviewing him for a multitude of roles. So like you said, Jeff, once Harbaugh maybe went off the board, he kind of became the bell of the ball across the league. Heather says, Jeff, have you heard anything about Lamar and the Raiders? Mike Florio put something up, just in case you hadn't seen this, Jeff, that floated out the idea of a potential trade. Obviously, that wouldn't get done if Lamar were to, you know, he has a no trade clause, as we all know. But anything on this?
No, not. I mean, every sign they've sent out and everything we've heard has Lamar as the face of this going forward and has been all about making sure that Lamar is good with what's going on, and he's the key face of this and moving this, getting beyond last season and getting things headed back in the direction they expect. They've shown that so far we've seen everything we've seen, they're all in on Lamar Jackson. So I don't ever want to say never, but I don't see that happening.
Am I a better reporter than Mike Florio? Because his connection on this story is Tom Brady really likes Lamar. Yeah, a lot of people like Lamar.
Aren't you feuding with enough reporters where you don't have to call anybody else out tonight?
Again, I'm a fan. This is what I do. I'm half film. I'm half film content, half talk shit on Twitter. It's what I do.
Oh, prime time.
So redeeming.
Prime time 2120 says, Bobby, can you research for us how many from the Shanahan McVay tree left to become offensive coordinators or head coaches elsewhere without any play call experience? Seeing concerns on Clay Kubiak, only Slowick is the bad one that I can recall. Slowick has kind of had a couple stops since he left the tree. Clay is, of course, we know, not the full-time play caller under Shanahan and San Fran, but he is the offensive coordinator. Tough ending for the 49ers, huh, gentlemen, this past weekend. And
by the way, go ahead. Sorry, Bob.
No. All you.
I'm guessing I don't look at the messages, but I'm guessing there's some talk like, why wasn't Kubiak? He would be on my list, but I don't know. I'm just, sometimes you have to connect the dots, guys. And he just doesn't strike me. What I hear out of Seattle, he does not strike me as a Steve Bisciotti type of hire yet. Does not have that dynamic personality, has questions about how laid back he is and his leadership. And I think he's going to be a very good coach, head coach during the day. But when you hear those questions, I'm assuming those are loud in the Ravens facility. And I wonder if that will be a stumbling block. But obviously they have a relationship with Gary, so they know the family. So who knows? But I just wonder if that would be, that's why I haven't included him, but I don't know for sure that they're thinking that way. I'm just trying to, you have to connect the dots here a little bit with this search, because they're not exactly laying it out for us, so to speak.
Just to answer primetime, I guess the names that, I don't have everything in front of me, but the names that stick out from a McVay perspective is Liam Cohen in Jacksonville, Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota,
Zach Robinson,
Zach Taylor in Cincy. Am I missing anybody, guys? There's others, but
There's others. Yeah.
And that's not even, we haven't gotten the Shanahan part of that. So anyway, yeah, I'm happy to do more research on that. R Young 36 says that any chance Minter as head coach and Davis Webb as offensive coordinator, or is that not enough experience at OC to be comfortable? Anybody?
I think that's a pretty good combination. And this is why I've said about, and Jay-Z might have a different perspective, I've said about Webb and Shielhaus the whole time, like, they seem like early offensive coordinator interviews where, if they bring in a guy like Minter or a guy like Shula and they say, we've been meeting with this guy, he's really impressive, you should consider him for a potential offensive coordinator. Like, that's kind of how I've viewed them as candidates. And that's no disrespect to them. That's just, I think Davis Webb's time will come. I just don't think it's 3 years into his coaching career. That's all.
My question, they'd be comfortable with it. My question is, and I don't know the answer to this, but if you're Webb and Shielhaus, you're getting head coaching interviews where you are as the pass game coordinator. You're already on the radar. You're going to get a head coaching job. Do you leave what's a good situation for them for an OC job elsewhere? Like, how much more can you help your cause? How much more can you elevate it? Shielhaus is already getting this buzz. He's already wanted to go. I think three different teams have interviewed him, the Steelers, Browns, and the Ravens. He's going to get multiple and at least one of those, if not two or three. Like, what is moving as an OC and working with Lamar Jackson, how is that going to elevate his, if that's his goal to be a head coach, how is that going to elevate it anymore? I would think you just stick where you are, which is a very good situation. Like, what would you go to an OC job? I don't know the answer to that. That's a decision they have to make, but I don't think it's a, It's, you know, yeah, entitled being the offensive coordinator and play caller is jump and gives another good line on your resume, but you're already getting head coaching interviews as a pass game coordinator. Do you need to even do that? Do you need to go elsewhere? You just stay, sit pretty, and just, you know, wait for your chance.
Yeah. Or maybe, you know, on the counter, he knows that this is it for Stafford, and he's going to ride off into the sunset.
That's also true. Yeah.
And maybe
yeah.
he leaves. Maybe he leaves with Stafford, you know?
Yeah.
Numera writes, why are Baltimore fans not really considering Chris Shula? This guy is a boss. I think we've covered that tonight, but he's probably right. I don't think that name, you know, certainly Cole, you probably agree within the Twitter sphere, if you will, there hasn't been a ton of Chris Shula talk.
No. Yeah. One of the less talked about guys that I think he'd be a good fit. Again, it's anytime you talk about the defensive guys, they got to have a good plan at OC. That's all. That's the big X factor in that hire.
I mean, look, could Shula get Nate Chielhouse here? And what would you feel about that? I mean, yeah. that's an interesting combination.
That's a fun combo. Like, I think if you put Minter and Webb up against Shula and Chielhouse, it's pretty interesting right there. Yeah. That's what I mean. That's what I kind of get about some of the panic. Like, there's a lot of fun combinations still out there.
Yeah. Ali? Is it Ali or Ali? Are they out on Flores? Seems like Baltimore and Pittsburgh are the only interested teams. Saw something today, Jeff, that you know, Minnesota is interested in re-upping, I suppose, or at least having those conversations. If he strikes out this hiring cycle, what's your gauge on whether or not that comes to fruition?
Albert Breer from Sports Illustrated wrote, I believe he said or wrote, I didn't see it, but multiple people told me that the Ravens really like Flores. And that wouldn't surprise me. He's a really good coach. I, though, would be surprised if he's in their final list. I've said it all along whenever we've talked about this. What I hear does not fit with anything they're looking for in terms of, you know, just some of the – maybe some of the background, the personality fit. I'm not sure that's a great fit in terms of some of the criticism he gets for communication style and lack of collaboration. You know, I would think those were two of the biggest trades Steve Bisciotti looks for, and he doesn't get high marks in some of those areas. And guys could change. It's perhaps he's changed a little bit and he learned from the Miami experience, but I would be a little bit surprised if he's a candidate for the head coach still at this point. But again, you know, they're filled with surprises.
Pittsburgh just confirmed that they conducted a second with him earlier today. I think maybe we mentioned that earlier, but just to throw that in there. T. Feaser, thanks for the super chat. Appreciate you guys for being with us tonight. Is it Simonze? Simones? Kubiak had Derek Carr looking like an MVP. He got fined for the MJ dance when they burnt Dallas. Heather
did McCubbin. Actually have he had Derek Carr at career high, not career high, career matching numbers, just for food for thought, again, from the X's and O's perspective.
That's amazing. Heather McCubbins writes that Jeremy Fowler also said, per the insiders, LJ to the Raiders. Yeah, just kind of still talk.
I mean, he just said, I saw the headline. I think he was saying executives were speculating over, you know, he wasn't reporting that there is it. I mean, I think a lot of it, if the Raiders are happy with, if the Raiders really like Fernando Mendoza, you know, I think you take the guy in a rookie contract if you really like him, rather than trade three first-round picks or two first-round picks plus Max Crosby or whatever it would wind up being. So I don't know. I mean,
well, you saw Al Davis down on the or not yeah, Al Davis,
Brady.
Yeah,
Mark Davis.
Yeah. They were down on the sideline with his finest haircut.
Yeah, that ownership group is so good, right? You've got the health and wellness poster boy, and then somebody who just does not give an F that's standing right next to him, half his size. Trey Casey writes, Jeff, do you think the Ravens are leaning defense? Do the Ravens want to bring in their own offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator? Are they just open to the head coach?
I think I'm trying to understand exactly. I think they're open-minded. I don't think they've ruled anything out, but I think they look at it as, look, if we're going to bring in a defensive guy to be the head coach, he better have a good plan at offensive coordinator. And if we're, you know, I don't see Zach Orr back as a defensive coordinator. So whoever they hire is going to have a defensive coordinator in mind that they like too, or maybe they can get Schwartz and pair him with somebody. So, I don't know. I think if you look at my I think if you look at the expected finalists that we know of right now, you have two defensive guys in Weaver and Minter and one offensive guy in Joe Brady. I think the guys they're waiting for, if they wind up waiting this week, are offensive guys. I would think, you know, well, maybe Shula could be in the mix too. So I just think it's split. I don't think they've come to that conclusion, but I think they're looking at it as a team. Like, who is the coach? Who would be the head coach? And what are his two coordinator suggestions? And they're going to, that's going to be part of the main factor to making a decision. They could go along with a defensive head coach if he's going to have a really good plan at offensive coordinator.
JS19 says, where are we at with the Linderbaum extension? Any updates, or does Lamar's extension need to be done before they get that done? Tyler's name was out there from the Connor Hughes tweet that I referenced earlier on, guys, just as, you know, a name to watch in terms of, you know, who John Harbaugh might want to bring with him to Baltimore. What's your gauge on that, Jeff?
My gauge on that is Tyler Linderbaum will have 20 teams bidding on him at least if he hits the open. Maybe not 20, but he's going to be the belle of the ball. He's already considered one of the top free agents in football. And if he gets to the market, he will likely not be back because teams will blow him away with more cap space than teams that have more cap space than they know what to do with will pretty much pay, make him the highest paid center in football, and he'll be gone. So if the Ravens want to keep him, they're either going to have to tag him, or they better get working on a contract extension before mid-March, or they're not only going to be looking for two new guards, they're going to be looking for a new center too.
They're going to have me and Jay-Z out there running the track.
Compensatory Prick writes, with all these other guys signing elsewhere, it's becoming more. I love this. With all these other guys signing elsewhere, it's becoming more and more obvious we're just holding out for Kubiak to finish his season to announce it. Trey writes that, is it crazy to say Owe can come back if Minter comes to Baltimore? Cole, would you welcome that?
It won't happen. They're not going to pay Odafe Owe. I think it was very clear what happened in terms of, you remember the cryptic tweet, you know, he thought he was going to get a contract and the Ravens didn't want to pay him what he thought he was worth. So he was pissed. And I think that was a huge part of why he had such a slow start to the season. He probably just thought, you know, F these guys, and then they trade him out.
Twat says, fire EDC, the scouting department, and Sashi Brown. Just fire, Jeff, fire everybody, Twat says, across the board.
Yes. Beat writers included. Get them all out of here.
Send your asses home. Let's go.
Chris, yes.
Full-time YouTube, Jeff. Let's go. Chris writes.
You're going to need a lot of super stickers.
I got a lot to learn if I go full-time YouTube.
Chris writes, was Minter ever on the staff with Lamar? Yes, he was 2017 to 2020. So what, three seasons?
Yeah, someone told me they have a pretty good relationship. Like, that's the one thing about Lamar. Lamar is kind of the Pied Piper. He talks to everybody, you know? Like, everybody kind of gravitates towards him. So, yeah, he'll very well will know Jesse Minter.
Yeah, two Fridays ago, Jimmy Smith came on the program with me, and, you know, they overlapped for a little while, and he was extremely complimentary of what he gave to them. Bucket Bomber Win writes that, safe to say all candidates who are no longer in the playoffs have been announced for a second interview. Does that rule out Flores, Nagy, Schwartz, and Kingsbury? I mean, not
every. I mean, look, I think, like, let's say Weaver was today, Minter's tomorrow. That would leave Brady maybe Thursday or Friday. They have another day to play with if they want to bring somebody in. But these are really expansive processes. These are interviewing with these are all day things. Players are involved. Department heads are involved. You know, often they go on to dinner at night and do all this stuff. So you just don't do an interview for the hell of it just to throw somebody else's name in there. I would think out of that list, yeah, I don't really see any of those four as head coaching candidates at this point. But again, maybe if their first or second candidate bows out, one of those guys could enter the mix.
Doesn't mean that their candidacy isn't in existence elsewhere, right? Because we already kind of said.
Let's just make it clear, Matt Nagy's out. He's not coming back tomorrow. He's out.
He's certainly out.
I'm reporting live from Limoges, Ontario.
He's certainly out of Kansas City.
Let me tell you, that's tough for his candidacy, huh? Elsewhere, what they did to him.
Oh, yeah.
Jahi Scott says, when the Ravens mentioned finalists, how many of those they interviewed would they consider four offensive coordinators let's see. When the Ravens mentioned finalists, how many of those they interviewed would they consider for offensive coordinator or willing to take offensive coordinator job after interviewing for head coach? Kind of a step down.
I'm assuming they're referring to like Joe Brady coming in, and then would Joe Brady stick around as an offensive coordinator? That's what I'm assuming. One thing, have we talked about Sean McDermott tonight?
No, that's a surprise. Yeah. I'm surprised. Like, I've gotten asked that question more than any other on.
So I kind of wanted to pick your brain on this one, Jay-Z, just because I wouldn't say the situations were the same, but I was really like, I have a bunch of buddies that are Bills fans, so I naturally follow some guys on Twitter, and a lot of them were just baffled at the fact that Bean would get promoted while McDermott gets fired, given what they think the issues on the team were. I thought it was a pretty interesting dynamic to compare to the Ravens situation, where I think people thought EDC's seat should be a little hotter but they thoroughly felt that John Harbaugh was the main issue. So I thought it was just interesting to see as a comparison because, I thought McDermott coached pretty well. I mean, he outcoached John Harbaugh in multiple playoff games. So, I was interested in kind of what you thought.
That's an interesting question. Look, you're not too far down the line. First of all, like a lot of the legwork that goes into this, Sean McDermott is kind of a known commodity. Like how much legwork do you actually have to do? You have, what was he, in Buffalo for almost 9 years, was it? 9 years almost? Yeah, like
2017.
Yeah, like so you know what him, you know what he's all about. You've competed against him. So you wouldn't have to do much if there was interest there. I've not heard that yet. And I would think you'd have to bring him in pretty soon. The question I have is he's close friends with John Harbaugh, and he's got a similar personality in kind of the way they are wound. And, you know, so is that something, do you want like a different kind of energy, a different kind of personality in the building? And, you know, and bringing him in they're different, but it just kind of would feel like you're bringing in kind of a similar John Harbaugh guy, you know, like I think everyone is always sort of casting Minter and Anthony Weaver as John Harbaugh guys when they were, you know, kind of assistant coaches for him. But, you know, McDermott kind of grew up as a coach alongside John. They're good friends. They stand for a lot of the same things. That's would be the issue I'd have with that. You know,
he's a Ron Rivera disciple, right? He was under Rivera for a while.
Yeah, but he's a good coach. He's a really good coach, and you know, him coming available just at, you know, you have to think Vegas and Arizona is loving it because, you know, getting it to have a chance at an established coach this late in the game with things, they would have to probably feel pretty good about his availability. But he's going to have to be willing. I mean, you know, for these guys, I don't know his contract situation. But he sits out this year. He probably he'll probably become like the top guy next year. So rather than take a bad job, if, you know, you think he'd be willing to be patient. But if the Ravens call and he knows what they're all about, you know, that probably changes his thinking a little bit.
Be More Vince writes that, why would we fire Harbs then fire, excuse me, why would we fire Harbs then hire from his tree? JS19 writes, Cole, I know we want offensive line continuity, but with how much Tyler would want, could make sense to save the cap. Save cap for guard spots / other areas and look for a center in the second or third. And he's already got one in mind, having watched the national championship last night.
Yeah, and I mean, I've been pretty high on Corey Bullock, but it's just, you know, we're looking for stability. We're looking to, you know, build an offensive line that's going to be good enough. And I think my issue is based on the guard play over the last few years, we have not seen Tyler Linderbaum at his absolute best. I think, you know, I'll defer to Brandon Thorne, who I thought said this pre-draft. So this goes back a couple years. He said, just go watch what they did in Philly with Jason Kelce, because that was his kind of comparison coming out. They gave Jason help, and people don't realize this unless you really dive in to the All-22. Jason Kelce used to get help in pass pro all of the time because of he was an undersized guy. he would get pushed back. They invested in tackles that could live on islands and Lane Johnson. And I forget who the right tackle was before they kicked Lane over to the right side. And they would do that because it unlocked Jason Kelce as the top run blocker in all of football. And that's what the opportunity is for Tyler Linderbaum, is they're asking Tyler to help their guards versus the opposite. And, you know, I'll go back to a famous quote that I've heard, you know, repeated from a lot of coaches: you can hide a center in pass pro. And I think we just haven't been able to see Tyler do his absolute best in the run game because of the guard play. So I think letting Tyler go, I think, will end up being a big mistake. I get it's a lot of money. I get it. But when you're trying to build an offensive line and you give away your, or you let your best offensive lineman walk, I think it's a tough one.
Patrick writes, how do you view this new version of the Ravens? How hard is it to build a 22 to 24 level team with Lamar paid? Are Marlowe or Rowe likely cuts or what is this?
RX?
Restructured? Is that what it is?
Restructured, maybe? Restructured?
Oh. Well, Marlon alluded to on his podcast recently that Eric came up to him at the start of the offseason and said, hey, here's the percentage of what I think, you know, is fair for you to expect whether you're back or not with us. And then Marlon was like, I feel good about it, but he wouldn't give the number. Is that not the most Marlon thing ever?
Yeah.
Players having podcasts is such a unique thing in sports nowadays. It's wild.
We talked about a little Marlon status last week, and I think we've mentioned Roquan. I think this team's going to have to make changes either way. They have a bunch of free agents. There's going to be some money that they have to, you know, move around. Matabike's future is in question. They pretty much, their offensive and defensive line are going to basically having to be rebuilt, and you can't do that all in the draft. You're going to have to do other things to create, whether it's trades, free agent signing. So, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of changes. I think they have to discuss. I don't think Roquan's going anywhere, but I think they have to discuss. And Roquan's one of these guys that I think is going to be involved in the head coaching stuff a little bit. But I think they got to discuss Marlon Humphrey. Like, yeah. I mean, he had a poor year. And, I you know, you can say what you want about him off the field. And I know, you know, he could be difficult to deal with. He's always been difficult for me to deal with in a lot of ways. Very interesting, charismatic guy, but he can be difficult at times. And, but just on the field, when he's at his best, man, you love that player. Tough and creates turnovers and brings attitude and is physical, but he wasn't that guy this past year. No. And,
wasn't 2024 though. How many games did he
play? Yeah, exactly, know? Exactly. Like they three or four of those games in 2024, he made the key play, whether it's stripping Chase Brown or the interception on Russell Wilson and the pick six. And there's a couple more. Oh,
he made Joe Burrow right on Jamar Chase at the end of the game.
Exactly. Yeah, there was three or four close games they won largely because he played, but he was not this guy. I think he was not that guy this year. And I think if you were making a list of biggest disappointments, if he's not one, he's pretty close to it in terms of his play from this past year. So they're going to have discussions, but he and Eric are very close. I believe Marlon's in the representing himself crowd, or at least he was last time I checked. So, you know, maybe he has those conversations directly with DaCosta and they figure it out. But, you know, it starts with the head coach. Then I think you go to Lamar's extent. Then you try to hammer out Lamar's extension. And then you'll know how much money you need to create. You'll know where the needs are and you can go from there. But obviously those are two huge items on the to-do list that they have to check off first.
Blair Davis writes, kind of off topic, but just saw a social media post that John Harbaugh badly wanted Eric to draft Puka Nacua in 23, but the front office instead wanted to draft Caillou Blue Kelly instead. Shaking my head. Your guys' thoughts on this report? I saw it right before we came on, guys. So with the 177th overall selection in the fifth round of 2023, the Rams did go indeed with Puka Nacua, who's lit the league on fire the last several years. The Ravens, 20 selections prior, went with cornerback Caillou Blue Kelly, who the three of us know did not make the 53-man roster out of camp. So
he was starting in Vegas this year, wasn't he, Caillou Kelly? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he was, yeah.
To be fair, I could start in Vegas, so yeah, you are.
No, you know what? It's interesting. Harbaugh has told us this before, and I'm trying to remember what he said. I don't know if he ever said he got overruled, but he said he had very high grades on Puka coming out of the draft, and he told Eric or something. He told the draft folks that he wanted him. I think that's as far as he went. I don't know if he got specific and said he got overruled because they wanted Caillou Kelly, but you know, Harbaugh stood on the table for Ben Cleveland. So, you know, you win some.
He would have had Puka Nacua on the bench and running special team gunner reps. So that's the agenda I'm going to push.
Bucket Bomber Win writes, as much as Bashotti speaks on faith and prayer, isn't it plausible that a Catholic coach may have advantage in the final decision? Harbaugh was Catholic as well. Not sure about that one. Blake writes, what is your real, not to poo-poo it, I don't know how to measure that. I don't think any of us know how to truly measure that one. Blake Barrett writes, what is your realistic dream three at this point, and will the prolonged decision come back to bite Baltimore? You guys got a trio that you'd want at this point? How about the fan? Cole, the fan, the Canadian
boy. For the head coach, OC, DC?
Correct.
Oh God. I think my go-to, I would have been giving Mike McDaniel with Jesse Minter and then a defensive coordinator of his choice. That would have been my go-to, but everything just changed. Based on what I'll go back to, this isn't going to happen. And I already know Jay-Z is going to roll his eyes at me, which I mean, it's 9:35. I think Jay-Z might fall asleep, but I'm going to go with Clint Kubiak, with Clay Kubiak, and Jim Schwartz, not me, and Jim Schwartz, a defensive coordinator. Again, that's not going to happen. That's kind of my Madden best three, but Clint with Clay at OC and Jim Schwartz at DC. Don't ask me how they're connected or how they ended up together, but they did in my mind.
All right, let's see here. Not a chance you read this says, how much AAV will Cheeto command in free agency? This one's interesting, guys, because remember, Tennessee, I think, was on the hook for over $7 million this year, if memory serves. Mm-hmm. And that would have been the Ravens, like, veteran minimum. Is that what they were on for? I don't have it in front
wasn't
of me.
But... Was it $2 million, $2.5 million they paid him? Oh, okay. I think it was a little over the minimum, but it was pretty close. I don't know. That's a good question. Veteran quarterbacks are into, you know, there's always going to be room for them. He had a good season, but I also think he was banged up at the end and sort of.
And that's his concern, right? I was going to say, how comfortable are you giving him a multi-year deal? Like, I no disrespect to him. He played really well when he was healthy, and that's the story of his career. But how do you give him a multi-year deal when it's every year?
Can
we go back to talking about Catholicism and its role in the head coaching hire?
Absolutely. Yeah, here you go, hey, Jeff. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know about the religious aspect, but I will say this. And I brought this up to Cole this week, and it was kind of food for thought for the young Canadian.
I'm not very Catholic for
No, it's nothing to do with that. But like, you don't often see clips of Ravens coaches cussing. Do you guys notice that? Like, when you put out these clips, like,
are you saying that Steve Bisciotti would have had a heart attack with Anthony Campanelli? That's the only thing in my head was Jay-Z being like, Bisciotti doesn't like cussing, and then Campanelli.
Like, I don't
every two words.
Like, I think Bisciotti expects a certain. You know, I'm not saying he's, you know, like, oh, somebody cusses. He doesn't like bad language, but I know he does not like clips of like that getting out of people cussing and dropping F-bombs left and right. And he expects his coaches to conduct themselves in a certain way. That clip is not getting out in the Ravens PR staff. I promise you that.
He must not like Monken then, huh?
Yeah, but I mean, again, Monken's mostly had his clean. I mean, mostly I'm talking head coach. Like, remember, that was always the issue with Billick, that people said he didn't like some of the Billick's language and it's kind of some of his attitude with some stuff. And Rex Ryan, too, in a lot of ways. Remember when people were speculating, why didn't he pick Rex? And people were speculating that was part of the kind of the decision, sort of how he talks and sort of interacts and some of the bravado and all that. So, you know, but I don't know about Catholic has anything to do with that, because there's plenty of Catholics that cuss, I'm sure.
My fellow Greyhound, Jesuit-based right
yes,
there.
Yes, that's so, right.
Hunter Mink, appreciate you for being with us tonight. Chris writes, I'm set on Minter if he can bring along K-Mac and Tierre Tart, who could replace Beeks. Sorry, Khalil Mack. And how do you pronounce Tart's first name again?
Tierre? I don't know. Why Tierre? Stop there? Why don't we get
Shieldhouse? So it's...
Look, if they hire Nate Shieldhouse, it's not going to be good for me on deadline. The amount of times it was like year three before I finally started spelling Kyle Juszczyk correctly, and this one would throw me off. But why stop there? Let's get Derwin James too. Khalil Mack's interesting. It'll be interesting to see what they do on defense because they need pieces at pretty much every level.
Oh, man. Let's see. Defrimbicary?
Just say thanks for the $10 and move on.
Appreciate you, Defrim. My man, Defrim. What about the potential of Sharone Moore getting an interview at the very least? He did a really good job at the U. It's getting late, boys.
He did a really good job. Is he still in jail? No, I'm serious. Like,
who knows? House arrest?
I think Anthony Campanelli's hiding him somewhere in New Jersey. He's with one of the five families right now.
You know it's coming up on 10 o'clock when
the sillies are coming out.
Row Live says, my phone won't charge beyond 77%. I'm nervous, Cole.
Jay-Z knows what I'm talking about. There's a certain time in the evening right before the kids go to bed where just everyone just acts out of control. And this is the adult version.
Bucket Bomber Win says, notice Harbaugh didn't thank EDC today as well.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I did. I mean,
true. You know,
I don't know. Again, I said it earlier. I don't get the impression there's a feud there, but I mean, who knows? And if EDC is blocking all these potential coaching hires, that could get interesting.
Oh goodness, I think that's probably a good place to before it gets real gnarly here. Which maybe we should in the off season one do a happy hour, the three of us. What do you think?
Oh boy.
A virtual
happy doesn't hour. Strike me as a recorded happy hour kind of guy.
You're acting like I'm 70 years old. You've taken a shot at me that I should be sleeping by now. And now
you're trying to feud with another reporter. Let's go at it. You have to replace Bo. You're gonna have to replace me with Bo.
You have enough issues in the Ravens media room. You shouldn't be taking on me. Let me tell you.
Well, apparently, all you guys do is sit around a campfire and talk about me. Nobody knows who I am, but everybody talks about me.
Don't feel special.
This is so good. Trey Casey writes, what are the chances? By the way, Cole, I may not be far behind you there in terms of reputation. Trey writes, what are the chances that we get a first-time offensive coordinator? Or Trey's just hitting you with all the hard-hitting questions here, Jeff. What are the chances we get a first-time OC or a first-time DC? You got me.
I'll jump in and I'll say hi because a lot of these guys are young, right? So if you go with Jesse Minter, his – DC is probably not going to be a former NFL DC. Like it could be, I keep linking him to Klinkscale just because he went with him from Michigan to LA, but someone actually, I should have corrected myself. Someone pointed out he could have just been following Jim Harbaugh because Jim and Jesse both went at the same time, which is very fair. But I think you see that type of hire where he's going to bring in a guy to be like his defensive pass game coordinator. And it's a guy that he's been working with, younger positional coach.
Thanks, Trey. Appreciate you, man. Columbus's finest right there. Never misses an episode. And guys, I think with that, let's call it. Great night. Almost 2 hours worth of content. This was not the expectation, but here we are. And it's all thanks to you guys because not only were we pretty much north of 1,200 concurrents all throughout the night, but I mean, super chats were just flowing in. So needless to say, thank you guys for the support. Thanks to Sleeper. We will be back next Tuesday. Who knows, guys? Maybe there'll be a John Harbaugh successor written in ink that we can kind of, you know, dig into and talk a little bit about coming up next week. Tuesdays at 8 o'clock Eastern, you know where to find us. For Cole, for Jeff, I'm Bobby signing off. Thanks to Sleeper. Thanks to everyone who tuned in tonight. Like the video on your way out if you could. Subscribe if you haven't already done so. We're getting that number north of 5,000 subs and counting. And most importantly, come hang with us next week. Thanks, guys.